So today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. So in this first foray of mine, getting gradually back into shape, I hope, and being as Moshe and Gavi has spent a long time preparing this Mishnah, so I'm going to make it a joint effort. I'll do the basics, just so I should be able to feel that I got back in, and then at the end we'll allow my esteemed colleagues over here to take over. All right, so let us begin with the Mishnah and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Hareini Nazir Lekishi Yelivein V'Nolad Lo Bein Hareiz Nazir. So if someone says, I accept upon myself Nazirus when I have a son, and he actually has a son, it seems rather obvious that he is a Nazir. We'll see what's the purpose of mentioning that. However, if nolad lo bat, if a daughter was born to him, or maybe a tumtum, an androgynous, in which it's a suffix, ben suffix, bat, or even if it would be a tumtum, we're over there, we know that it's just simply a case of covered genitals, we're not certain which one it is. Nonetheless, he is definitely not a nazir in this case. And that's true according to everyone, and is not part of the question of whether suffix Nazirut is Nazirut. This is not considered to be a suffix. He definitely did not include a daughter or a tumtum or an androgynous under the rubric Bain. But what if he said, Imamark Nikishieli Valad, when I have some type of a Valad would mean, I guess the closest term, is a child. However, over here it means a birth. There should have been born a child to me. It doesn't mean that he actually has in his hands a child, as we'll see. So in that case, afilu no ladlo, bat, or tumtum, androgynous, are reza nazir. So if he has a real child, there's no question that it doesn't matter, even if it is not a normal child. So it's not, it's a tumtum, it's an androgynous. Nonetheless, he meant to include any type of viable child. But what about if he pila ishto? So now the question is, the idea of a vlad, as I mentioned earlier, does not necessarily mean that he wants to have a little child walking by his side. What he means is that if he is successful in reproduction on some level, that then he wants to be mekabel on himself and his ears. Now, it often happens that we have a non-live birth. A non-live birth, to use the word hipila in Lashon HaKodesh, doesn't necessarily mean that it would be called a miscarriage in the sense that the child was never born. It means that there was not a viable birth. We saw this in Yevamos as well. So the question is, can we be absolutely certain about what the situation is here? The woman might have actually carried an infant to term, and then during the delivery itself, may have already been Yotzei Rosho, Verubo, the child might have been strangled to death, as often happens. I mean, these are common circumstances in which there is no, in terms of what the hospital report will list, there was not a living birth. But nonetheless, in terms of satisfying the requirements of whether he had a Vlad, it would be satisfied. Because if we knew that even though the child never survived, it was definitely full term, then there are sometimes ways of discerning that, as the Gemara says, in terms of full hair development and nail development. So in that case, if we know for a fact that the child had made its way out of the womb for a moment and was a full-term gestation, and then died for some reason, oftentimes through strangulation by the cord. So then the question is, how would we know? We're in a pretty tough situation. Now remember, this is very similar to the case where a guy we had before, the case in which somebody says, wow, I'll bet there's 100 tons of stuff in that pile. And if there isn't, I'm a nuzzer. And the other guy says he's a nuzzer if there is, and so on. They go there to check the pile, and it turns out that it was stolen or washed away. So over there we had a machlokas, whether in the case of Naziris, we're not being certain that you're a nuzzer, leaves you in a worse position than being certain that you're a Nazir, because it's not all that easy to ever get out of the Naziris if you're on your Suffolk Nazir, because you can't bring the Korbanos. Now, we'll see that there are ways of dealing with that in the mission in a moment, but nonetheless, your situation is still going to be worse off than it was if you were Vaday and Nazir. So the question over here should be dependent in precisely that. And as we'll see, it's actually the same machlokas that we had about what the idea is if someone has put himself into a position where we simply don't have the information and we have no way of getting the information. So what happens? So the pashtus is, a no nazir, if you hold the way we assumed up until now, that there is a norm in which a dover that is more chomer besveka than vado, in other machlis atzman asaf. However, as we saw before, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that. And Rabbi Shimon holds, you have to entertain both possibilities. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says over here, look, you'll never know. So on the one hand, you have a continuing promise that you made, that when your wife does have a vlad, you will be a nazir. Maybe 2 years from now, your wife will recuperate and have a viable child. And at that time, you will become a nazir. In the interim, you don't know what your status is. Therefore, you're really going to be in a double bind, says Rabbi Shimon. So I'll tell you what you do. What you should do is you should say the following. You should say, Im haya ben kayama, if this was a viable child, then I am a nazir. And if not, then I want to make myself a nazir nidava at this point. And that way, mamanavshach, I know that I'm a nazir. Because if it was a child, I'd already committed myself to being a nazir before. I'm not adding anything. And in the event that this wasn't a viable child, so then I make myself a nazir now. One way or the other, therefore, I can get out of my naziris. Now, this obviously is true for all Suffolk naziris, right? And therefore, I mean, what we're saying is that the idea of the naziris necessarily being worse because it's Suffolk, I mean, it's not really worse. You could just make it deny and get out of it. But the truth is that we saw earlier, we discussed this as well, it can definitely get you into some serious problems. In the case where there was a tumah, are you able to get out of the tumah? Was there a vaday, a naziris before? Were you a mitame before and so on? So it's still considered to be a worse situation. Person doesn't want to be machlis atzmo l'safek. This is how the Rush explained before. Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, Alibid Rabbi Shimon, we're not concerned with that. So therefore, you do the best you can. Now, of course, this is not going to help you when your wife does have that child, because now you're not certain whether you already kept that the first time around and you already had a child, or whether you need to keep it now. And the first time around when you kept your Nizirut, it was only voluntary, right? Because you said just in case. Therefore, continues Rabbi Shimon, Chazra v'yaltan, continues the Mishnah, Chazra v'yalta, according to the Tanakhama, now you're definitely a Nazir, which cuts around to having a full-term, viable baby. Rabbi Shimon on there, well, again, you've got a problem, because maybe you were a Nazir from before. So now, we're not sure. Are you a Nazir now, or are you not a Nazir? You have to do the same tonight. And this time, you make it dependent on what the situation was earlier. So Yomar, Im harishon haya ben kayama. So if the first time I kept my naziris was for a ben kayama, so then that was my real naziris that I had originally accepted on myself, harishon chova, and this one is a new naziris of an edava, then I'm not sure, but I better do it because otherwise I'm in trouble. But if the first vlad was actually not a vlad shal kayama, and therefore I was never mekayim my original commitment to be a nazir when I had a vlad, so then that means that the original Naziris that I kept, that was a Nedava in order to get me out of my pickle. And this is the first one that is actually a Chova. But, says the Gemara, I really need a Mishnah to tell me that if somebody says I should be a Nazir when I have a son and he has a son, he's a Nazir? What in the heck? I'm Ila Memra. What's that there to teach you? No, it isn't. It's obviously an introduction. That is what we want to talk about is that not that if you said you have a son and you have a son, you're a Nazir, that part is obvious. The question, however, is, what did you mean when you said you will have a son? Because remember, I mean, we were talking about the Inyonim of Yibam. We talked about a ben einlo. What does a ben einlo mean? Any kind of descendant. Didn't mean whatever. It could have been a ben, it could have been a bat, could have been a tumtum androgynous. I mean, the idea was that there was something there. And when Rachel Imenu said, Ibane mimenu, I mean, what did she mean? Necessarily, I would have to have a son. She didn't mean a Ibane in the sense that I will have a child. So the word ben obviously includes a ben, but what the Mishnah wanted to teach us is that it does not include, in these cases, a tumtum androgynous and even a bat. Therefore, I've said it, Mishum Sefer, to teach me that chiddush, that in the event that he had a bat or a tumtum androgynous, then he's not an author. Isn't that also the question? Didn't he say bain? No. The word bain, remember, is used in Lashon HaKodesh in a very profound and broad way, because the idea of bain, you remember all of the drushes, at the great banecha, la bonayich, and so on. So it means binyan. It means the concept of ibane. So matatema kidlikishi ibane. And binyan is in the sense of any type of child. So madatema likishi ibane udekama. Kamashma know that a ben in the common speech means a ben. If, however, Marmar Kishieli Vlad, then even if he has a tumtum or androgynous and so on, it's included. I mean, well, obviously, he said a Vlad. Well, not necessarily, because again, analyze the context. I mean, the man is obviously looking forward to a milestone in his life, something that sort of puts him on the map in his own mind, you know? So he considers himself to be fully arrived when he has a child, you know? I mean, does that mean any child? Like, there's places, you know, in China, they'll go after your daughter and murder her. I mean, that ain't a child. Or if it's a tumtum androgynous, people will say, this you call a child? You know, so I mean, he wants something that he can go out there, you know, give out cigars for. Maybe that's the point. You know, so he can't give out cigars for a daughter. He can only give out cigarettes for a daughter. So because of that, maybe he doesn't see it as being on the map. So what he might have meant was, that no, even contextually, he is really thinking in terms of some level of reproductive success, not being on the map, but he wants to be a person that is assured that he is part of the path of life. Okay, so then in the event that the wife actually does not have a living birth, ipila ishto, so then eno nazir, definitely eno nazir. But can we be sure? Do we know whether it was kololo chadasha? Do we know that the child necessarily had died in utero? We have no idea. Whether in utero, we have no idea, right? So in that case, it must be that it's going only according to the Mandiyomar, who says that when you cannot know, that's called a suffix naziris, and a suffix naziris is always lakula because of its potential for greater complications than the vadai, and we don't assume that the person wanted to put himself into that kind of state, in which case it's as if we were told initially, well, in the event that I don't know, then just forget about it. So that would mean, man katanila, who would be the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda that talked about the Braisa before, about the enormous pile in which we were arguing whether it has 100 tons of stuff or not, and so on. So he said, well, if it got lost or it washed away or whatever, then forget it. Since there's no way to know, person wouldn't want to be machnis atzmelis a fake, and therefore there is no issue at all. So our mission is saying, forget about it. There's no issue. Mashenken, Rabbi Shimon says, now, wait a minute. There's a way to handle these problems, you know? And all he needs to do, instead of simply dismissing the thing and saying it's too complicated for me, I disagree. I believe that a person will put himself into a situation, at least one that might be handleable. Now, this is introducing a new issue, of course, into the whole question. There would be some possibilities where he can't handle it, perhaps, and some possibilities where there's just a chance of his being worse off than before. So the situation that we have over here in the Mishnah, says Rabbi Shimon, is you're making it seem that this is a great tragedy and this guy's never going to be able to, what do you mean he'll never be able to get out of it? All he needs to do is a little creative kind of naziris. So all he needs to do is to say, Yomar, Im haya ben kayam ha. And therefore this would have been like the Kree that did have 2,000 tons in it. so then I will be a Nazir Chova. And if not, just to make sure, so then Areni Nazir Nedava. And this way, one way or the other, I am going to be Potter from the thing. And this is even though, in this case, note that according to Rabbi Shimon, he is definitely worse off because he's got to keep two Naziruses, right? Because when his wife, I mean, may very well, in the event that his wife ultimately does have a child, he's not going to be able to get out of it by keeping the first Nazirus with this Tanai. See, in the case of the pile, he can get out of it. You know, okay, if the pile was, like I said, I'm a Nazir, and if it weren't, so then I am a Nazir just in case. And that's it. That's the end of the story. And then he's really not in any kind of serious pickle at all, unless he got into trouble with Tuma beforehand. But in this case, Rabbi Shimon is telling us a big Kiddush, that even in the event that the way that he's going to be handling this issue of the Suffolk is through having to force himself to keep two Nazirut, which you could say, well, I never wanted to put myself into a position where in order to be able to have a glass of wine again in my life, I'm going to have to keep two Nazirut. Why would I do that? Nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon holds that Adam Machter Satzma LeSuffolk. So that is a terrific value of having the case in our Mishnah, having Rabbi Shimon expound what he would hold about a suffering Naziris. Now, the question would be, Boimine Rababa Miravuna. I'm interested if we have external evidence as to the viability of this fetus that you're not sure. What about in a case where this woman was pregnant with twins? Now, she actually had lost one of them, and it isn't clear to us whether that was a full term or not a full term. And that led to the whole question of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about the suffering Naziris. But how about in the event that there was another twin that actually was born and was full term and allows us to have greater basis for assuming that these were actually developing at the same rate and that the conception was at the same time. And I mean, even though those are, of course, assumptions, but they're reasonable assumptions. And therefore, could we rely on that to tell us that the original was actually a real full-term fetus? So, well, what's the difference? I mean, basically, we have one live child, right? The difference would be if between the initial non-viable birth and the second viable birth, maybe an hour or two passed, and in the interim, the person set aside a korban for the chiyuv of the Naziris that he would have. And he had assumed, say, that he's a Nazir and he's going to be bringing his korbanas. But if he isn't a Nazir and he was mafrish korbanas for non-extant Naziris, then, of course, there would be no Kedusha Chal on it. So now the question is, if at the time that he was mafrish the korban, do we now look at the concluding birth as an indication that actually at the time that you set it aside, it was a real korban? Well, who are you asking this according to? Rababa, you said, what would be the din? What would be the din according to who? I mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, we said that a suffering Nazir is a hachmer. So we already say that in the Mishnah? So yeah, leave it to Rabbi Shimon, mighty boyle. I mean, according to him, he has to keep the Naziris, right? And if he has to keep the Naziris, so then if he set aside the carbon for Naziris, he was going to keep, so then it should be perfectly okay. I don't understand why you're even asking. Hello, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so then what we're asking is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a suffix Naziris would be like hell, the question would be over here, would we be willing to say that this carbon is Kodesh or low Kodesh? So if we're going to take as an actual proof that there, or at least a strong indication, that the birth of the viable twin is an indication that the original birth was actually Mechayev him, a Naziris, so then we could say that this carbon is actually Kodesh in this case. And we wouldn't say that he never had intent to make it, because we have an indication that everything that he said, namely, when I have a child, actually took place. The nafkamina would be in terms of knowing whether it's Kodesh or not. is whether it's good for Giza Vaveda. As if I'm sure that it's not Kaddish, then I would actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no tzad to say that there was any level of Kedusha. I could actually go ahead and be Gozes or Ovid. If you're going to tell me in this case you'd have to be Machmir because of the additional proof that we have, then I wouldn't be able to be Gozes Va'ovid. Take it. Okay. That remains standing. Now, boy, mine ben ruchumi me abaye. How about if somebody says Harini Nosu Likashi Alibain, like we have in our Mishnah, and there was somebody else there, and he said the alai. A lie is always the lashon of I'm accepting upon myself something. So it's like a new Kabbalah. So what does he mean? Does he mean to say alai adibure mashma? In other words, what you said, I'm taking on myself. So what you said is that you will be a Nazir when you have a son. So I'm taking upon myself, I will be a Nazir when you have a son. Or does he mean to say, you know, that's a very chashuv thing, I would also like to have a son, and I'm taking it upon myself that when I have a son, I see that, you know, that you came up with this wonderful insight that you should have the schus of a Naziris, and that therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you to have a son. I want to do that too. That's mashma, in the words, a lie, that the person has come to a conclusion about his own personal commitments, not that he's just hopping in to this other person's interests in his own life. Or, so that's the question. Even though he said a lie, did he mean, I'm going to do the same when you have a son? Or a gufe mashma, because a lie means I'm taking something on myself. Now, if in this case, you're ready to say, im timtzuma a gufe mashma, because, I mean, the idea of here is saying a lie has that sense of accepting upon myself something for myself. What about if a guy says, Arini Nazir L'Kasheli Vein, he says the same thing, but the other guy, instead of saying a lie, he says, me too. V'shamacha v'rova amar va'ani. Now, me too is different than saying the a lie, because I mean, when you say a lie, it means you've taken something upon yourself. Over here, you seem to be jumping in to the other person's excitement about something. And, you know, yes, you would be so moved by having a son. I would too. You know, if you have a son, I would be very deeply moved. So here, what would we say? Would we say that even here, he's talking about anafshe ka'amar, even though he never used the word a lie, and he's talking about himself? Look, I love you as much as you love yourself. If you have a son, same excitement you have, I'm going to be feeling. And rachim nalach kavaseh. Now, there's an additional component here, which we need to take into consideration in determining what a person is saying. And that is that it used to be that people actually had enough sensitivity to realize that when somebody is sharing a profound feeling that he has about himself, for them to suddenly start talking about themselves is, to say the least, déclassé. I mean, come on. Like, the guy is talking about how happy I'll be. Yeah, you know, I'll be happy when I have a son. Well, you shut up. I'm talking about me, not you. So even though nowadays, of course, me too has nothing to do with you, it only has to do with me. But in those days, maybe when somebody said me too, they meant me too for you. And it was all about you, not about me. So although this is rather difficult to believe nowadays, perhaps says the Gemara, that if the person is in front of the other individual who said how happy he's going to be if he has a son, so then, I mean, how could you actually start talking about yourself, you know? And wouldn't you be embarrassed? So, okay, so imtim saloma, koba and pek sifale milta, then maybe we need to take into consideration the embarrassment and say that, look, I mean, the person is not going to start talking about himself when somebody is sharing his deep feelings about how much he's concerned about the fact that he doesn't have any son and he wants to have a son. All of a sudden, you're not, okay, so over there we understand that, of course, you mean to say, I too will be happy. And he's just basically empathizing. He's not taking something on himself. But how about if it isn't in front of the same guy? How about if he says, Arini Nazir, the Kishiela Ploni Bain? What if he talks about another person? He says, you know, I'm really feeling so bad. I know how much this couple is suffering. They're not having any children. When he has a son, I would make myself a nazir. And there the guy says, me too, va'ani. So now the question is he referring to himself? Because, I mean, in this case, we don't have the additional component of being embarrassed to speak about himself on the same level. I mean, it's true, it is still embarrassing. Somebody's trying to talk about another person, and now he's talking about himself, but it's still, it's not in front of the person. So, I mean, he doesn't have to know how declassé I am. Right? So I might as well tell him, you know, I'm also nervous about not having any children, and I would, over there, it's more acceptable. So me, I'm Rinan. Shaloba Fanabim, he's not in the other person's actual presence. So then I'm Afshikama. Or do we say that, look, contextually, it still is rather strange for somebody to be talking about how much he cares about someone else, and you say, yeah, I really care about myself too. That's okay. Yes, there are people like that. But maybe it's more likely that you're saying, well, I love him just as much as you love him, and if you're ready to be a Nazir, I'm ready to be a Nazir. So I love him as much as you. T-boy. Okay. That also remains up in the air. And now we have our capitan has decided to go on a skiing trip. Now, who the heck goes on a skiing trip in the middle of a daf yomi when you're the capitan and, you know, you've already been on 80 years worth of skiing trips, you know? But our intrepid capitan is still a boy. All right. So therefore, we need Doc. But Doc hasn't shown. And so I will do the honors. Zok der Helik and Mishnah. But that is actually, I think, the only honors I'm going to do because I'm starting to feel not good at all. And therefore, I unfortunately am going to hand over the next Mishnah, which I wasn't planning to do yet at this stage. I'm going to hand over this Mishnah to Moshe, who had prepared it in the event I wouldn't be able to say it, and who has been working closely with Sergavi, I believe, in preparing the Rambam notes, and hopefully he'll be able to give us a beautiful insight into the coming up Mishnah. I hope to rejoin you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, for a full term Daf Yomi.
If Rebbe will fully rest, then we'll get Rebbe back in full term, Rebbe Tulo Ikiyumo.
I sure hope so, but I couldn't resist making at least a foray.
This was very beautiful. Thanks so much.
Good to everyone. It's wonderful seeing you. That itself is part of a refuah. It's been terrible not being able to be with you. Good to.
I'll try to do my best over here. So Harini Nazir Vinazir Kshayad Libin. So if he says, I'm going to be a Nazir, which seems to be mashma right now, and then he says, I'm going to be a Nazir when I have a son, V'Nazir K'shiyeh Libein. So he's Mekabel at the same time two Nazirs, but he first says, I'm going to be a Nazir now, and when I have a son, I'm going to have a Nazir. So fine. So what does he do? Yitchil Moned Shalom. Let's say that he starts his own Nazirus. And afterwards, along the way, before he was mashlim his own nazir, so let's say 20 days in, so his son gets born. So now he has a stira because he should have started his nazirus for his son immediately, but he can't because he's in the middle of his own nazirus. So what does he do? He's mashlim et shelo, finishes off his, and v'achar kach moned shel beno. He then goes back and does an extra nazirus for his son. But obviously he would be migaleach in between, and it would be two separate naziruses. Now, areini nazir k'sheyeli bein. So I'm going to be a nazir. Let's say he switched the order. Let's say first he made the nazirus. When I have a son, I'm going to have a nazirus. Then he comes along and says, I'm also going to be a nazir on my own. So the important thing is the order is switched, makes a very big nafkamina, as we're about to see. So again, he starts counting because the nazirs that he was makabel on himself without his son is clearly, he didn't specify a time, so that's obviously going to start immediately. So yitchil moned shelo. Now, if his son gets born in the middle, 20 days in or something, then he has to drop his own, miniach et shelo, moned shel bino, and he has to start counting, he has to count his sons. The chaykach mashlim et shelo, and then he comes back and is mashlim his own. There's a big machlokas rishonim in terms of what exactly this means, that he puts his on pause and then comes back. I was happy that Rebbe was going to be giving the daf and kind of slacked off a little bit towards the end of like fully preparing. I'd wanted initially to prepare very clearly, but as far as I can recall, and hopefully if I'm making a mistake, Rebbe will hopefully set things straight tomorrow. But I think the main two ways of understanding that, and the Rush brings like three nafkaminas that we're going to have in the sugya coming up. It's a very big difference in terms of these two approaches, is whether or not you're megaleach once or you're megaleach twice. So basically, what happens is like this: if you stop your own nazirus and then you continue with the nazirus of your son, right? When we're saying that you're mashli mitchelo, which sounds like you should be finishing it off, do you have a problem, because you're going to have to count. There's no such thing as tlachat if you don't have 30 days of growing hair. So when you're saying mashli mitchelo, does that mean that you, it's hard to say that you're going to take 20 days in, you're going to stop, do 30 days for your son, and then you're going to then shave, and then you're gonna, once you shave, you're gonna have to do another 30 days. That doesn't sound like it's mashlin. So so because of that, one approach is that in fact you're not megaleach at all, and you're megaleach once for everything. And what it means is you pause for the 20, and you pause after the 20, you do the 30, and then afterwards you bring one, and then you count another 10 afterwards, and then afterwards you bring, after the total 60, you bring one tiglach, you're shaved once, because you can't shave twice, but then you bring two sets of karbonos for the two different nazir. So that's one approach. And I believe the Tosfos's approach is a very, very beautiful approach, is that actually there are two tiglachats, and what are you talking, what does it mean to be mashlim? It basically means like this. First, let's just talk out the logistics. It might be a little overkill, but it's good to just get all of the details straight. So again, you started your own nazirus 20 days in, you have your son, you have to stop, you count another 30 days for your son. At that point, you're yes megaleach, and you will have to wait the full 30 days. So what does it mean to be mashlim? It means, let's say that you were nitma b'meis. So when were you nitma b'meis is going to make a big difference. If you were nitma b'meis in the 10 days that you were mashlim of your initial 20 that you started, then you're soser everything. You have to start over again. However, if you were nitma after those 10 days, so let's say actually counting the days, you were nitma after day 60, 61, 62, whenever it was, because you're going to be a total of 80 days at this point. So any days after, so 61, 62, whenever, where you're nitma, you're not so something. It doesn't matter, because you already mashlim your nazir, so you can just go and be tovel and hazayah shlishi shvi. And when it comes up to the time, all you have to do is have hair that's worth cutting, as it were. You have to have something that is roi legiluach. So you basically, you do have to wait the total of the 80 days, but you're not soser afterwards. And that's what the mashlim means. So that's as Mishnah goes. If you guys want, we can foray into the bar. It's a bit of a complicated sugya. We can start it.
Yes, go.
Okay, but also Gavi and I had prepared a little bit of the Rambam's Shita in the previous sugya, so that might also be like, we would like to share that also. So we'll start for a minute or two just to get into it, and then we'll we'll maybe double back. Okay, so Bayi Rabba. Amar Hareini Nazir Lachar Esrim Yom Umeachshav Me'a Yom. Mao. So Rava is asking a very interesting question, which is in the direction of where the next mission is also going to be going, as we're going to see. Basically, we're going to see later on that there's a big difference between a long Nazirus, let's say a Nazirus for Me'ayom, versus a short Nazirus in terms of a lot of these dinim, of when you stop, when you don't stop. So Rava asks like this, let's say that the guy says, I'm going to be a Nazir from 20 days from now. And from now, I'm going to be a Nazir for 100 days. So now what happens? Because he's essentially creating this to himself. Like the Zatosus talks out, in our case of the Mishnah, things are very different than Rava's case. In our case of the Mishnah, the guy didn't have any plans to be Soser his own Nazirus. He had plans that he has no way of knowing when his son's going to be born. So when his son is born, I'm going to be a Nazir. It's good, I'll be a Nazir now also. Over here, he's actively creating an overlap. So how do we handle that? So, Mao. So, Kevan, Dalein Mea, Be'esrin Lo Shalmin, right? There's no real way to finish 100 in 20. It doesn't work. So then you're going to say Lo Chayilin. It doesn't start in 20. You have to wait for him to be Mashlim his Mea, and then after that, his news and zeros will start. Odilma, Kevan de Isle Gidol Sear, Livasov Chayilin. So, do you say that he actually can, in a sense, as far as I'm understanding, you could kill two birds with one stone, and you could say that this is one of the nafkaminas of the different shitas. Do you kill two birds with one stone, and one tiglachat according to that shita would work for both of them? So now we ask. Wait a second, Rava, you're jumping the gun. You're introducing a whole new variable. You're introducing this concept of long Nazirus, which just makes things more complicated. Let's talk about a Nazirus Muetis, with Tibayin Nazirus Muetis, right? What if you have a case where you say 20 days in, I'm going 20 days from now, I'm going to do a small Nazirus, and I'm doing a small Nazirus now. You still have an overlap. Why do you need to go and create this case with Me'ayom? So Rav is saying, no, I'm actually telling you, I'm asking several questions at once. I'm asking two questions, one including the other. Two questions, right? In other words, intim salomar that Nazirus Muetas Kevan da Sarayomin who diasrin lo salikle alina so vadai Nazir Me'ayom Kevan de Isle Tmanin Yomin Livasov Salkinle Olo. So we're Bedavka asking because you don't have that overlap at because in 100 days. You can at least finish the Nazirus that you started, whereas otherwise not. So that makes it more, and then and it gets more complicated. Anyways, it's a complicated sugya. I don't want to get too far down, especially since I wanted to spend a little bit of time with the Rama. But this is at least getting things started. This is a very fascinating, very beautiful, and a little bit tricky sugya. So hopefully let's leave it at here to start with. And for whoever has koach, and whoever's been doing the flashcards, Gavi and I were looking at the sheet of the Rambam versus the way that it seems to be explained in the Gemara. In fact, I'll actually take a moment just to share screens because I prepared notes that might make it a little bit easier. But here, let's see, like this or like this. Yeah. Notes here. So basically, where is it? Sorry about this. Here. So here's the notes. Basically, let's just look at what the halachas should be, or in fact, let's look at it in the Gemara, right? So in the whole sugya with Rechumi ben Rechumi asking Abaye, I'm going to be a nazir from when I'm going to have a son. So the way let's actually just say according to how the Rambam actually is posted, right? So the Rambam says things that seem to have nothing to do with that whole sugya. So he says, first of all, Hareini Nazir Kshayeli Bein, V'Chaviro Amar Vani, Harei Chaviro Nazir Miyad, right? So if he says I'm going to be a Nazir when I have a son, and his friend says, yes, me too, So his chaviro is Nazir Miyad. Where do we have a Nazir Miyad? That doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever, right? First thing that doesn't seem to make sense. Second halacha. Omer l'chaviro, hareini Nazir k'sheyeh l'chavein, right? When you have a son, you're going to be a Nazir. V'shema chaviro v'amar v'ani. Also, in the Nazir, that's also not going to be a Nazir. That's not going to be a Nazir at all. So where did we have a case that you're not going to be a Nazir at all? That's weird. That doesn't seem to be at all how we were learning it as well. So okay, so that's the second halacha that doesn't make sense. There's the third halacha that also doesn't make sense. So Arini Nazir Ploni Bain, right? So one guy says, Reuven says, when Levi has a son, I'm going to be a Nazir. And Shimon hears and says, you know what, me too. So then it's going to be a suffix. Shemalonis kavein ela liot Nazir kmo. So olomar shani oivotcha kmo schav v'suffix l'nizirus lakel. So in other words, in that third case, which sounds mysteriously like our third case in our sugya, which we said a teku, we don't know which way, and therefore we're going to go suffix nizirus lakel. Okay, so that doesn't seem to make much sense. Now let's look at what the halachas should be according to our girsa and the mifarish. So there's two klalim that we have to remember. Basically, whenever you have an imtim tzilomar, you always go according to the assumption that we're taking for granted, right? And that's assumption number one. Assumption number two is safek nazirus lahakel, and so therefore at the end we're going to go according to that. So looking at the Gemara, so we have the first case. This is I just made it so that we don't have to look at it inside. I just made notes over here. So Haomer, Hareini Nazir Kshaya Libein. I'm going to be a Nazir when I have a son. When I have a son, and someone else says V'olai. So the way that the Mifarish explains it is that Chaviro is going to be a Nazir. He's saying, no, that's when I'm going to be a son, that's going to be how it is, right? That I'm going to be, I'm taking your idea and applying it to me, right? That's halacha number one. And halacha number two should be, Hareini Nazir L'Chsheyeh Li Bein. He says, I'm going to be a Nazir, when I'm going to have a son. Chaviro Amar Va'ani rather than, because he said Va'ani rather than Ve'olai. So Chaviro would be Nazir, when you have a son, when the first one has a son, right? That should be the other halacha. Again, nothing to do with how the Rambam is saying. Then the third halacha is like this. Omer hareini nazir l'chsheyeh l'ploni bein, and v'shama chaviro v'amar v'ani. So over there, it's really kind of unclear what to say. We could say maybe, according to the Mefarish, there's really two options. Either he's going to be a Nazir when he has a son, or he's going to be a Nazir when his friend has a son. Maybe you could say, since we don't know which one, so then you could say that maybe there's going to be a suffix Nazirus Lahakel. But basically, it just seems to be a completely different world. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that the Rambam had a very different girsa, which is actually the girsa of Rabbeinu Peretz HaKohen from the Tosfos. And it's a few very subtle differences. So first of all, in the first case, the language is like this in the Girsa of the Rambam. Hareini Nazir Kshayeh Li Bein V'amar Chaviro V'ani, not V'alai. The Rambam doesn't have the V'alai as a factor at all. The Rambam is saying that V'ani is what we're talking about in the first case. And And I'll ignore these notes for the moment because I should have put them elsewhere. Second case is going to be Hareini Nazir Kshayeh L'chavein, right? So which again is different than our case, right? Because the second, he also said Li in the second case over there, but he's saying if V'amar Chaviro Vani. So there's actually three people in the second case equation. Basically, you're going to have Reuven who says, when you, Shimon, have a son, I'm going to be a Nazir. And Levi listens and he's like, you know what? Me too. And it's unclear who's Levi talking about. Is Levi saying when Shimon has a son, I'm also going to be a Nazir? Or is he saying about himself? So that's going to be the second case.
And both these girsas are on the page. The alternatives are on our Gemara page, Svar Mecherim and Svar
Mecherim. In terms of the notes. Yeah. They're two very, very normative girsos. They apparently, like a lot of Rishonim, have both of them. Third one, Hareini Nazir L'chsheyeh L'floni Bein. So when so Vamar Chaviro Vani, so that's similar to us, but it's different in that again there's the three people involved. So it's again that question of, is it going to be in front of him? Is he not embarrassed, or is he embarrassed? So that's kind of the issue. So now, how does the Rambam still get all of these dinim from this gear? So the Kesef Mishnah explains, and again, I feel bad holding anyone who feels like overburdened over here. This might be a little too detailed, but it's just very interesting for anyone who's been holding in the halachas. I find it very beautiful to just see where the Rambam gets it from. So the Rambam is reading the words of Diburei V'Nafshei completely differently. At this point, maybe it's Kedai to actually look inside in the actual Gemara. So remember that So the initial question is a Diburei Mashma or a Gufei Mashma. So the way that the Mefarish was explaining a Diburei versus a Gufei is that the Diburei is essentially according to how you said it, meaning is it like you said about you, so I'm taking it about you, right? Or is it agufe? In other words, is it about me? Which is similar to anafshe, right? It's a similar language. It's like, am I talking about myself, or am I talking according to your words? That's not how the Rambam learns it at all. The Rambam instead says a dibure means am I taking your words, and then or am I going to be taking the main tochen of your words? So the point is a gufe means the goof of what you were saying, the concept of nazirus. That's what you were talking about. So fine. So according to the Rambam, we now see why he jumps into it immediately. In other words, the fact that he's saying you were talking about nazirus, and I like the concept of nazirus. So then he's mekabel essentially nazirus now immediately, right? And it has nothing to do with that. So then, according to that, the intim tzilomar actually they all kind of work in a very clear progression. Because the first progression is: do we take his words literally, right? In which, or do we say that the guy's taking whatever he wants out of those words and then using it for whatever purpose? So if he's going to take his words for whatever purpose, right? So imtim shel omar agufei mashma. So then, amar hareini nazir. Well, let me just look the girsa of the Rambam. Is the second case is hareini nazir l'chrei l'chabin v'amar chaviro v'ani. So then over there. So then we get into the mawa. Nashrik amar odilma. He's saying rachiv na l'kavasich. Maybe I love. Maybe he's just saying I love you. Now the Rambam makes another point over here. He's saying I love you doesn't mean that therefore I'm being mekabel ani naziros. He's embarrassed, and that's exactly what we say in the next thing. He's embarrassed, so he's not. So when he's saying hare bosh mimenu, which Rambam says in the halacha, he's saying I want to show that I love you. So I'm saying a language that maybe will make you think that I'm taking on a naziros, but it clearly shows that I really want you to have a son. But we have no indication that he really wants to have a naziros. So over there. Definitely suffik nazirus lako, but even without suffik nazirus, that's not his intention. So that's why, according to the Rambam, he's not a nazir at all, right? Now the third case is imtim tilomar kol beanpik sifalei milsa. So then amar hareini nazir. Third case again. Sorry for the back and forth. I was gonna have it less messy with the presentation, but anyways. So over there, that's exactly the case that the Rambam talks, and he says, we don't know, and it's a suffik and suffik nazirus lahakel. So according to the Rambam's girsa, in a way, it actually works out much nicer because the imtim silomars are much more aligned according to this. They're all going in a particular direction, whereas before. At least this is how I was feeling when I was reading it. It could be that I'm missing something simple, but like according to the way that the Mefarish is saying, if he's first saying I'm going to be selfish, right, and agufe means about me, and then in the next thing we're saying, well, really he's going in the opposite direction. Really, he's feeling embarrassed because the other people are there. It's like you're going in two different directions. Usually the Imtim Tzul Omers are supposed to build in a particular direction, which is why you can take the direction La Halacha as being implicative of a particular shita that we're trying to say this way is more mistaber than the other way. So anyway, so that's, there's a little more shtickle to do, but I have rachmanis on you guys. It's also the Meister Rokeach who asks, why does the Rambam argue with...
Don't have rachmanis, explain it fully, please.
Okay. All right, the Meister Rokeach, it's actually a very beautiful question. He says, what he, his language of, is like me, Chriach, it's the Rambam to be mefarish like this. Is you get into such a crazy kind of stira where, according to the way that the Rambam being mefarish agufe is being on the goof of the Nazirus, you end up in a situation in which the person who's being matpish in your Nazirus is more a Nazir than you are, right? Because remember, if the first person never has a son, right, or he has a tumtum androgynous, whatever else, he's not going to be a Nazir. Yet this guy, and if he is going to be a Nazir, maybe it'll be 30 years from now, right? This guy is going to be a Nazir immediately. How does that happen, that he becomes immediately? Why? Like, I understand technically how that works, but why should the Rambam be dochik himself to say that? So he says that the Rambam was troubled by the way that the Mefarish reads the word dibure, because the Mefarish takes for granted, again, let's read it exactly inside his language. So ma chaviro, so either a dibure da u gavra koi umashma violai lios nazir kshielichabin, right? So in other words, he's saying that dibure means that it's going to be upon me to take the nazirus when you have a son, because that's what you said, right? Or maybe the gufe means I'm going to take that and apply to me. But he's saying dibura is either way. I could say very validly, I'm going to take literally your words. Great, right? Or it's going to be, I can also say it the way the Mefarish said. He was talking, you were talking about yourself. I'm taking your words as the same point as we're talking about with you. So Dibura could go either way. So the Rambam, so according to the Meister Rokeach, the Rambam said, you can't say Dibura means one of the two rather than the other. Therefore, you're going to have to go and say, as I'm saying, that Dibura means his language as it applies to me. And Gufe is going to be the concept of Nazirus, however we want to take it. So that's how the Meister Rokeach explains. He also ends up saying there's a Ksaviyat that doesn't have all of these halachas that have been driving us crazy, so maybe the whole thing is a tosofim. But anyways, but I do think that the way the Meister Rokeach explains is very elegant and very beautiful, and hopefully Hakol Shariv V'Kayam, at least it fits together for me. So anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed, or I hope I didn't drive you all too crazy. But that was what Gavi and I had prepared. So yeah. So Mirit Hashem will be zochet a full presentation by Rebbe tomorrow in full health. And the Mirit Hashem, we should have Besuras Tovas.